Good morning. It's good to be together once again. Thank you for coming to worship today. My name is Rockford Johnson, and it's just a great joy to serve with you in this mission we have to really bring change to the world by changing lives and changing whatever we can change. The ushers are passing the connection pads today. We appreciate if you leave your name and let people around you see who you are. And if this is your first time with us, we have a gift bag for you, and if you'd fill out a welcome card and leave it with one of the greeters at either door as you exit, they'd be glad to give you that gift bag. You probably would get it even if you don't turn the card in. So we are glad you're here. We welcome you. We're glad you're among us today. Please let us know how we can pray for you. You can do that with a card that's in the pew rack that says prayer requests, has a gray top on it, or you can go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and click on the red prayer request button, and then we can be in prayer with you, for you, and for others in your life. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to all you who are joining us online, live streaming. We're glad that you're connected with us, so that we can be a part of your life and you can be a part of our life together. As we gather today, many of you know, of course, that our United Methodist denomination has some large questions before it that have been pending for, 30 or 40 years, and the decision is going to be made sometime in the next few years. And to guide us through that, we have our General Conference Guidance Team. And that team has been working for a year now and is sponsoring a series of conversations. The two of those all-church conversations take place. One of them takes place today at 4 p.m. in Finn Hall, and so we invite you to come to that if you're not a part of one of the Sunday school classes, because we're doing the same thing in Sunday school hour during these weeks as well. Then there's another one on Wednesday morning, 11 o'clock, on February 16, if you'd like to come to that one, and we invite you to come and find out what that's all about and get the information, etc. We want you to know that our masking policy still remains the same. Masking is optional, and we honor and respect those who make those choices both ways. I would say that, personally, I'm encouraging people to do all we can to help our hospitals at a time when they're letting us know that the hospitals are quite full and understaffed. And so I would encourage us to do all we can according to our convictions on that matter. You know, many of you know Jane Cook, who's been our Director of Care Ministries for 26 years, and she's retiring. Next Sunday is her last Sunday in that position. She's still a part of McFarland, of course, but we want to celebrate what she's done for us over these years. We're sad about her departure from that role, but we're praying for her and celebrating with her as God uses her gifts in many ways going forward. So next Sunday, on January 30th, her last Sunday, we'll have a time in the atrium after the 8:30 service, and after this service, a time in the atrium for you to gather and give thanks to Jane, and perhaps bring cards and gifts if you'd like to do that, and really let her know how much we have appreciated her. She's done a wonderful job for so long for McFarland's people. We want you to know that we are committed to ensuring that all of our care ministries are well-staffed, that care ministries and 55-plus ministries continue and remain strong. And so during this time of transition, our Staff Parish Relations Committee and our church leadership are working to fill that position so that we can continue those good ministries. And God has been faithful, of course, to provide the people we need over time and many times. And so we're confident now that God will do that one more time. So please join us in giving thanks for Jane and all she has done for God and God's people and God's church. And let us give thanks to God for her as well. Today, we continue our series, New Normal. And today, we focus on wisdom for managing life, which can sometimes be busy, over busy, and exhausting, etc. So would you stand to sing our first hymn, number 103, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
please join me on the affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Father God, we are your people chosen by you. As we meet together in this place this morning, we thank you for the opportunity you have given us to stop and hear what you want us to hear this morning. Heavenly Father, help us to listen, to understand, and to remember your word. Make us aware that we are meeting not simply with one another, but with you. Let your presence be real to each and every one of us this morning. As we pray, may it be just like speaking with you, O God. As we listen, help us to concentrate so that we may really hear your word. Help us to make good choices and retain all that we hear this morning, see, and experience. Heavenly Father, we come to you with different needs and requests. You are God who knows our future. You are God who knows our heart desires. Father God, as we pray, help us to rise, O Lord, because you came for the needy, the poor, the oppressed, the forsaken ones. Lord, we gather in this place and our thought and prayer are with those who have even lost hope in you. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. May you provide healing. We pray for those who do not have shelter. May you provide shelter for them. We pray for those who do not even know if they will get something to eat today. May you provide the resources that they need. Lord Jesus, some of our prayers are unspoken, but you are God who knows our heart desires. May you answer our prayer request and provide to us the same way you have provided to Abraham when he was ready to offer you a lamb for a sacrifice. We believe and we trust in you that you will do the same to us this morning, that you will restore our hope and courage to continue serving you, knowing better days are coming where we will flourish and give thanks to you, God. Lord Jesus, give us the wisdom that we need so that we do not waste the opportunities given to save you, knowing that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. Father God, may we always approach your throne of grace in faith and without fear and doubting. Lord Jesus, as the scripture says, that everything will pass away, but your word will remain forever. We pray for the heart position of humility. Humility in such a way that we do not cheapen our own worth or value within, but that we take the alignment that we hear for a greater purpose to save you. We pray that you will highlight to us what it truly means to live a humble life, and that our own worth will be revealed by your light. It is not only that when we may truly live the freedom and right standing, for we will hold our own value correctly by you, God. Lord Jesus, we welcome you to mold and secure our heart in the true humility by your lead. As we now pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and take your Faith We Sing hymnal. Turn to page 2158. 2158, just a closer walk with thee.
Thank you. As a director of missions, I've had the opportunity over the last several months to be a part of some community conversations about homelessness, food insecurity, and poverty that people in our community face. And let me tell you, when I represent McFarland, the words that I hear back from our community leaders is always positive. We're known as a church that does stuff. And as we enter into this time of offering, it opens up opportunities for us to continue to live out in very tangible ways this mission of changing lives that change the world. We don't just talk about it at McFarland, we actually are doing something about it. And I'm thankful that when you give, we're able to really make a difference. So let us enter into this time of offering. You may be seated. May be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Hear now these words. Let the believer who is lowly boast in being raised up, and the rich in being brought low, because the rich will disappear like a flower in the field. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the field. Its flowers falls, and its beauty perishes. It is the same way with the rich. In the midst of a busy life, they will wither away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we come out of our busy lives and out of our goings and comings and keeping up with things. Come seeking your wisdom, how we can live in the new normal created by Jesus. We pray that you would help us to think and feel together, to process together what we hear out of your word and what you make out of my words and our thoughts and feelings together. And so we entrust this time into your hands that we might gain wisdom in the way of Jesus. Amen. Going, going, gone. So ends the auctioneer's effort to sell a Picasso or a cow. Not so much at high-end auctions, but in livestock sale barns across Oklahoma, there is this fascinating song sung by auctioneers as they cheer and chanter and chant over a corral full of cattle with rhythm and rhyme that is its own art form. Sometimes it's called the cattle rattle. As a kid, I was fascinated by what seemed the magic of it all. Even thought I might be one of those someday. Surrounded by the smell of manure, and back in those days, it's a lot of cigarette smoke and the yips and yos of bid spotters and cattle handlers, the auctioneer cajoled and begged and sung his song to draw bidders toward the highest bid. From the small farmer who was there with his one annual crop of calves hoping to make his money for the year, to the wealthy corporate cattle buyer bidding for success. And when it was all over, some would be boasting and some bemoaning. The whole cattle auction orchestrated to establish the highest possible value. Today's reading from the book of James declares that the lowly, the poor, the vulnerable should boast or put a high value on being elevated, and that the rich, the more successful and victorious, should boast or put a high value on being brought down. Why? Because the so-called rich are in danger of falling down, and the lowly are in danger of falling short. I don't think we are dealing here in this ancient text with simple poor versus rich binary economic classism. This scripture reveals a nugget of wisdom for living in the always new normal of the way of Jesus. That is, the more successful should value balance in their lives in being lowered some, because, quote, in the midst of a busy life, the rich will wither away, cease to flourish, their vigor vanish when something comes along so scorching that their riches cannot solve it. The key for us is this phrase about what happens when life is lived fast and furiously in the go, go, go mode, quote, in the midst of a busy life. Literally, in their going or in their pursuit and striving for more stuff and stored up treasures, if and to the extent that we or they ignore others who need a hand up. Such strivers for success are at danger of failing to live by the higher values as defined in the teachings of Jesus. Now, few of us have not played our part in the pursuit of success and gain. And for us, this text offers a tip, not 10% or 20% in payment for our service, but some divine advice, spiritual wisdom. Learn to value living with meaning and attending to your family, friend, and faith relationships more than speeding through life until the epitaph on your gravestone is going, going, gone. Learn it for yourself. Learn it for your kids, your grandkids. Learn it for your neighbor and your friends. Let your new normal become a balance between the value of slow and fast, of reaching for what is higher, better, and more, and reaching for the hand of those who need a hand up, because you value for them what you value for yourself, and doing that because you highly value what God values according to Jesus. The danger of living always on the go and always in pursuit of the highest is that rest and peace and joy end up on the floor. In 1905, Albert Einstein, if you'll let me use him as an example again this week, Albert Einstein published his breakthrough discovery on the photoelectric effect in physics, for which later he would receive the Nobel Prize. And I recently heard the popular physicist Brian Greene talking about how Einstein worked long days and many hours rushing and striving to prove his theory, perhaps win the prize for his work, before another scientist could reach that same conclusion. He wanted the money from the prize so that he could support his divorced wife and children. And so while he is sometimes known for lollygagging out on his sailboat, drifting, letting thoughts drift into his mind while the clouds drifted overhead, he could be a fierce competitor. And clearly Einstein was successful as a brilliant scientist, but not always so successful in relationships. In a letter, he confessed that for him, marriage was, quote, a project in which I grossly failed twice. Well, perhaps from his failures, he learned a little wisdom. In November of 1922, he was in Japan on a lecture trip with his wife, and he knew he had received the Nobel Prize in 21. He was to get it in that same month. And so he was staying at Tokyo's Imperial Hotel, and a courier came to the door to make a delivery, and either the courier refused a tip or Einstein didn't have any change in his pocket, but he still wanted to do something. He wanted to give this messenger a tip anyway, and so he took a piece of hotel stationery with the name of the hotel on top, and he wrote a tip of another kind, his theory of happiness. And 95 years later, in 2017, that note with his handwritten in his original German language sold for over $1.5 million. Too late for the success of the courier. And on that note, he wrote, "A calm and modest life brings more happiness and the pursuit of success combined with constant restlessness." The genius physicist echoed the brilliant teachings of Jesus and the wisdom we find in the book of James. Climbing the heights of success can create a life of constant, feverish restlessness. It can cause us to wither, especially if a near or full-blown addiction to success seizes us. At times, you may feel some of that strong grip of busyness, how it's exhausting you and stealing your sense of peace and well-being. I remember standing on the dirt driveway of a farm where my dad and another farmer, a neighbor farmer named Gerald Malachik, were making a deal about when Gerald would come with his baler and bale the hay in our field. And as they talked, my dad said to Gerald, "So how have you been doing?" And Gerald said, "Well, you know how it is, Bob. Too many irons in the fire, and the fire's going out." And that reference to a fire out on the range with too many branding irons in it and not enough fire to keep them hot and effective is an apt reference to what James is talking about here. This scripture text says that to live in the go, go, go mode, there is danger that the passion and the energy for the important family, friend, and faith relationships will wane and wither. We won't have enough to give to, that there may be nothing left for the most valuable aspects of life, for marriage and for parenting, for childing, doing what a child does, for worshiping, for churching, for praying. And when we find ourselves in some version of that experience, we need to bring balance to life by assigning high value to slowing down and doing some less so that we can do more of what's important. We need to allow God to bring us down some. We need a values check to learn to celebrate bringing balance to our life and to others too. One of the best ways is to shift gears from go, go, go to engaging in what we could call go-between. God has been described as a go-between God, working and doing ministry through persons in the world. In Moses, God goes between the Egyptian Pharaoh and the Hebrew slaves to bring about their exodus toward the promised land. In Jesus, God goes between sin, death, and destruction and humanity to minister resurrection hope to the world. In faithful people of the church, the Spirit of God goes between the world in need and the resources of life and of life in faith that come through the church. As our example, Jesus repeatedly goes between a person's jeopardy and potential, taking time to engage in person-to-person moments of attention that result in healing and liberation. We read them all over the Gospels, from the woman at the well to Nicodemus caught between politics and faith, to the woman saved from the executioner's stones, and to children taking up his time. And such coming together in loving encounter is that moment when the lowly are lifted up and the lofty allow themselves to lower down, to use the ancient language here. But the highest value to celebrate is when the distinction between high and low evaporates, when we treat people and every person as persons, when we meet each other as equally human and equally loved by God. The Scripture makes the point that those who are constantly on the go to get what they want, failing to engage also in the go-between mode, may be in danger of losing what they have. A sort of hyperdrive to work can leave your family, your friendships, your other relationships in the dust and in the fumes. We can burn through days and years and come to the end of them without enough fuel for what is important. We need to find the balance of living, to living as the go-between. You know, those who work as wait staff in restaurants serve as a clear example of that go-between idea. They go between the kitchen and the table. They go between the resource and the need and bring them together. They are vital to that enterprise. And there are other very essential workers in public ministry besides the church, those who work in essential go-between services. I think of healthcare workers like nurses who span the gap between the patient and their resources of medicines and attention and assistance, all for healing. And they often stand in the gap between life and death. Teachers also live as go-between workers in daily personal encounters with children and students and with their parents and our society, connecting the students' needs to learn and grow with the resources and methods of knowledge and learning to learn. And some of you are healthcare workers, or you know and love people who are healthcare workers, and some of you are teachers, or you know and love people who are teachers. And some of you and those with whom you work may feel a bit left out in the cold sometimes, hungry for relief or help, because in our current circumstances, the coronavirus has been in the go, go, go mode for almost 2 years and is not yet gone. Even some have resigned from healthcare and stepped away from teaching for their own health and without enough rest. And you or others may feel like the lowly who need to be lifted up in prayer for sure, but also and by an elevation of demonstrated respect for your work and your sacrifice, lifted up by all of us doing what we can do to reduce the number of persons falling ill filling hospitals, and even dying due to the now infamous virus. So when I was preparing this sermon and I got to this point, I asked myself, should I go on? So I want to ask you to please listen to me, to hear me, because I am not picking a political fight. I fully understand that today's political conflict over these things related to the virus, the pandemic, etc., is rooted in competing convictions and that the stakes are high, at least among some persons. But I am not talking politics. I am speaking as a pastor whose heart breaks when I cannot go visit someone in the hospital. I am speaking as the brother of a school teacher who has recently gone through a bout of COVID, a teacher who loves her students and loves her work and gives herself wholeheartedly in love for children, especially children whose parents struggle to provide and to parent well. I am speaking as a prayerful student of the Scriptures and as one called into the ministry of go-between. I am speaking as a pastor who hears the cry of the hospital chief medical officers who put out a letter recently and did a press conference to say their hospitals were full. I'm speaking as a pastor who has stood at the bedside of the dying and watched nurses in their COVID prevention mask standing in between, caring, serving as the go-between ministers. And recognizing the complexity of our current circumstances, I also see the perspective of business owners and institution and organization leaders who see the need to stay open and stay engaged for those who depend upon them, those whom they serve, be they customers or clients, or those whom the business supports. And I have not stood up today as a biblical prophet like John the Baptizer or Amos or the other prophets who denounced misguided government leaders. There is a time when pastors do that kind of prophetic speaking and work, but today I stand here as a pastor called to minister in the go-between, where there is human hurt and need for divine sustenance and solace. Like the old spiritualist says, I ain't gonna study war no more. I'm saying that I ain't gonna let the regrettable political war of polarization that draws its energies both from the left and the right deny us, you and me, the right, the privilege, much more than that though, the calling of God upon us as people of faith to act as go-betweens, to act in a ministering way, driven by the needs of God, of people and the grace of God alone for those who need our help and need us to come alongside them. I'll leave it to the pundits and the media corporations who are so successful at spinning the news and polarizing people and messing up friendships and families and citizenries and making hordes of money doing it. I'll leave it to them to wrestle and punch it out over who is more righteous. But as for me and my house, as for this pastor and this church, we will serve the Lord. We are not servants of the state or the culture or the politics. We are people who have tasted the grace of God and want so very much to serve as the go-betweens, offering that grace to those who hunger and thirst for the faithfulness of God demonstrated in their own lives. This scripture celebrates the high value of both that the lowly aspire to and act to be lifted up. and that the successful and those with more capacity for making concessions and adaptations curtail some striving for success in order to come down and help those doing the hard work in the realm of the go-between, in the realm of serving human need. This scripture celebrates the high value of taking time out from go, go, go to create many go-between moments of person-to-person engagement, pure time with spouse, child, aging parent, neighbor, friend, stranger, those in need of attention, including you, for you also are in need of those person-to-person, rich, enriching encounters. In the way of Jesus, the prize does not go to the highest bidder. God is not a cosmic auctioneer fast-talking us into competitive bidding conflict and cancerous political strife. No, imperfect as we are and imperfectly as we do, we are called into a new normal in which, as Jesus teaches, the first shall be last, and the one who wants to be the greatest and win everything shall be the greatest servant, the dedicated go-between. Let us pray. Oh God, we want to be your servants. We want to serve you. We want to live in the go-between. We want to experience all the joy of it, all the challenge of it. We want to do what we can do to make real difference, to bring hope and help to people of all kinds and people all across the world and all the people close to us and within our touch. And so we offer you ourselves in the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand to sing our hymn 395, Take Time to Be Holy. Now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may indeed abound among you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.